Because Connor,
it's tail time.
Is it? Is it now?
It's tail time. It's tail time. Hello and welcome to The Answer's 11, the smartest icebreakers from the dumbest dudes. Do you get paralyzed when the thought of talking to a coworker or a stranger comes up? Paralyze them with your amazing questions and the ease of conversation that will flow out of you and them with the smartest icebreakers from the dumbest dudes. I am joined today with your god of odd, Connor.
Yeah, here to equip you with paralyzing conversation starters so that you can win the you can do good.
And I'm your humble host, Evan. I've got nothing good. Hey, Connor, did you know that the internet lies to you?
Does it?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I had read that on the internet once, that the internet can lie to you, and I thought, I think that's probably inaccurate.
Yeah, so I found out the hard way. I am an unhealthy boy. I try very hard to be healthier, and I realized with the type of person that I am in my penchant for sweets, I don't eat enough fruits and vegetables because they just go bad when I buy them. So I was like, all right, I'm going to try and figure out how to do a smoothie that satiates all of these things.
Well, may I offer a suggestion?
Yes, please.
Be healthy in an unhealthy way. More jammy fruit, chocolates. Think more gummy bears. You know, find your fruits inside the candy.
I like where your head's at, but my heart doesn't. And not my emotional heart, my real one that's clogging and dying actively.
that pumping muscle in the center of your chest. Yep. The thing that doesn't agree with the logic I'm putting forward.
Doesn't do so good when there's so much sugars in it.
Chocolate-covered cherries.
Yeah. Ooh, those are delicious, though. I love them when it's Christmas time.
That's what makes it so hard to be so healthy.
Yeah, so the internet was like, oh, yeah, just throw a little bit of spinach in your fruit smoothies and you won't taste it. You fucking taste it. You taste it so hard. It tasted like peas, which was the worst part. Why?
No.
This is a different green vegetable flavor. Ugh. Why are you doing this to me?
That's no good. No. Yeah, my dad occasionally in his smoothie adventures, he would catch on to a new superfood. And so for a while, like we had acai in smoothies that he would make us. And that was great. That's a good taste in fruit. And then for a while it was kale. And that was not a good tasting fruit. That was a leafy green that made the bright pink strawberry smoothie begin to look more like vomit from a baby.
Word. I liked your dad's smoothies that I had.
I don't think
I was there for the kale time, though.
But he, you know, he's not an idiot. And so he didn't put the kale in our smoothies. He made very custom smoothies. He's a good guy that way.
What a nice man. So I did a berry smoothie with spinach. And then I had to douse it in PB2 and cocoa powder, and then a ton of fake sugar, like the sweetener shit.
You just kept adding more and more stuff to fix the peas.
Yep. Yeah. And Leah looks at it and she's like, why is it brown? Like, because it's chocolate peanut butter now.
Yeah. I don't have a strong smoothie game in terms of fruits, but if you start with a banana, in my opinion, and then you add any of your fun, like chocolate or peanut butter things, that's what I go for. That's my, if I'm going to put a smoothie together, it's that little protein, if that's your situation. Cinnamon in a smoothie, that tends to go pretty nicely.
That's pretty cool. I did want to do protein and a banana, but I was doing a stick blender and the cup was already full thanks to all of the milk that I needed to add to de-thicken the spinach.
Wow, that spinach caused you so many problems.
I think I drank cream spinach. I think I made and drank cream spinach.
Oh, man. That's rough when you're trying to make creamed spinach.
Yep. I mean, and like we context clues, but we do need to state it out loud. If you've listened to this podcast at all before, we are gluttons for punishment, and I did drink this.
Of course you did. Waste not, want not.
Well, I mean, I still need to get my fruits and vegetables in.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to give up halfway through just because it's terrible and difficult to put inside of your body.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my little story for you.
Okay.
Most important first question of the day. How you been, bud?
I'm doing all right. Life is okay. I've got a fun media suggestion to put out into the world, but also something that I just want to talk to you about. I think I've mentioned the Amazing Digital Circus to you before.
Yes, you did. I didn't look into it, but I remember it.
Yeah, so they finally released their second episode. It is, as far as I can tell, wildly popular. I think it's been out less than 24 hours, and it's got dozens of millions of views by now.
That's bonkers.
It's crazy. It's insane. And it's really, really, really good. It's very funny, and it is, I think, one of my very favorite sources of heavy meta humor. Mm-hmm. I we've talked before about how one of the great things about Kingdom Hearts was that it was a very meta sort of like, what if all of these stories existed in a different universe and we brought them together? And that's just a really interesting concept if you've never run into it before. And also, it gets really tiresome really quickly. Once you get used to that idea, it gets very annoying to just watch the Ouroboros of a show or a book or a comic book like Deadpool just repeatedly jump inside of its own ass forever and ever.
Did not care for Deadpool when you lent it to me. I tried.
Yeah, you know, I gotta tell you, I really liked Deadpool for the first couple of collections that I read, and then eventually, like, it's just hard to do meta humor forever. It just gets really tired. But The Amazing Digital Circus, it's only two episodes deep, so keep in mind there's probably not even like an hour of content all together so far, but they do the best job with heavy meta references, the best job that I've seen in a long time.
Cool, big fan of that. I should watch it. I should I'd like to for you, but you know me. I can't make any promises.
Hey, no. I expect no promises, Evan. I just want to put it back on your radar and hope that you hope you enjoy the madness that runs heavy through the whole show, because that's also a major theme.
I do like madness. I do like wacky, zany stuff.
It's both wacky and zany and insane and existential and meta and hilarious.
That's a glowing review if I've ever heard one. Big fan of that.
I want it to glow. I want, like, this show would fit in Fantasy Chernobyl,
radiating like the sun, like the man-made sun from the nuclear fission in Fantasy Chernobyl.
Yeah,
very good.
Exactly. And so yeah, that's really like enough to get me through the week right now. I've been waiting for that second episode for a long, long time.
Yep.
Glad it came out. Probably gonna watch it again a few more times.
Very glad to hear that for you. I'm glad that at least it sounds that was Digital Fantasy Circus, was that the name?
The Amazing Digital Circus.
Amazing Digital Circus is enough to just turn your week into a net positive. I'm very glad to hear that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice to see, I'm pretty sure it's entirely independent, this animation studio, and it's cool to see them succeeding with their very unusual, really outside of left field. Is it for children? No, but it's also not for adults, but it's hard. Yep. Yeah, like it just doesn't fit into a lot of traditional molds, and it's nice to see them getting to use that freedom to write the stories they want to and do it really, really well.
That's awesome. Good for them. That's really cool. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. So I guess in a similar vein, my time since we've spoken last has been pretty all right, and that's because Leah and I are also watching TV, specifically the Australian kids show Bluey.
Oh, speaking of things that you find on the internet, I've caught the Bluey controversy. I don't know if you're aware of it.
Go into it, less spoilers, and I'll let you know.
Okay, so there is an episode with a heavy pregnancy theme.
We watched that yesterday, and it is the funniest fucking episode. It is so well done. I cannot, like, it finished, and Leah looks at me, and she goes, that was an episode made for the parents. It is so good. It was so funny. It was heartfelt. It was grand. Highly recommend it.
You know, it's weird. It, in some ways, it seems like too wholesome for you to, like, not the kind of wholesome that I would reckon you generally would glom onto. I know that you find that, like, one of the things we both really love about Mob Psycho 100 is how wholesome the bodybuilding club is.
Without a doubt.
And so I know you enjoy that generally. I don't see you enjoying that in the context of children in any way. And I think that speaks to something special about Bluey.
Bluey is so well written. Because, like, one of the jokes that happens in that episode is, like, Bluey screams, like, "We gotta deliver the baby." And the pregnant character goes, "Well, aren't you the midwife?" To which she replies, "No, I'm the friend." Because, like, it was such a good little sting because it diverted your expectations but stayed totally in tune with the logic that is kid logic. Mm. Because as an adult, that doesn't make any fucking sense. But that's exactly how kids play.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a really good job of getting that, like, whimsy of childhood, but also, like, as a 30-year-old man, a Bandit, the dad, is my favorite character because, like, it just watching, it's like, oh, if I ever were to have wanted kids and be a dad, I could see myself as a Bandit.
You would want to, like, be that kind of dad.
Because he cares, he tries, but he's also fucking stupid because he's a man. but it's just, it's really wholesome. It doesn't beat you over the head with the very clear, distinct morals of the episodes. And shit's just funny. Like, it does a lot of good humor. It's a very well done show. And, like, especially in later seasons, they dip into their animation budget and get a little weird, which is my favorite thing that cartoons can do, because I love awesome. When different styles and shit happens.
Oh, then I can't wait to hear how you feel about the Spy Family movie when you finally get to it.
God,
because
yes.
They do some interesting things with the animation. I will say no more than that, but I will tell you that you will enjoy it.
God, you watched the dub, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm torn, which maybe I'll do both, but, like, I still love the trailer with just English Anya. "I'll see you in hell."
I guess,
they got away.
Now that I think about it, yeah, the fact that you enjoy Spy Family tells me that, yeah, some of that wholesome child family vibes is up your alley.
Dude, like, one of my favorite animes of all time is Kaguya-sama Love is War, and that show is also wholesome as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Anyway, that's our roundup of media suggestions to start the podcast off.
Go watch well-written friendship shows.
Feel a little less lonely in the world.
Yep. Oh, man. But yeah, the other good thing about Bluey is the episodes are 7 minutes long, so perfectly snackable.
Nice.
Don't need to get too invested, and then you're invested 4 episodes later anyway. Want to get into it? Because I want to get into it.
Let's get into it, man. What do you got for me?
What is number 23? Ooh, another old one. All right, so Connor, you know how there's idioms that have their meanings changed because people don't use the whole thing or get it wrong?
Yeah.
What's your favorite wrong idiom?
Okay, so you're talking about the sort of blood is thicker than water, and then the rest of that, like the second half that isn't as commonly attached. It's blood is thicker than water. but it, no, it's, help me, Evan, help me. This is my answer. It can't be because I don't remember it all that well.
It's blood of the covenant is thicker than water of the womb.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
It is often used. So blood is thicker than water, meaning like, oh, family is what you should, you know, like be devoting yourself to and like prioritize. Whereas the actual one is like, no, your found family is like your covenants, like your chosen friendships are more valuable than just being born to a family. Like if your family is shit to you, why should you prioritize them over your friends who love you? That kind of thing.
Yeah. My favorite, I think, is curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back.
Now, why is that?
Well, because curiosity very much does kill cats. In the metaphorical sense, I think, is mostly where I want to hold on to that. Yep. I don't want to contemplate.
Animals out in nature, like as part of the food chain, which we are so fortunate to have removed ourselves from. I feel like any kind of curiosity is that kind of like big risk, big reward kind of thing.
Yeah. And so my concern about a lot of these idioms is that it's stuff that people just made up and said. Nobody ever talks about the second half of this idiom. And it's actually, there is no second half. You're just making things up. But I do think curiosity killed the cat and satisfaction brought it back is a nice thing to like just be able to throw at somebody if they're yelling at you for being curious about things or trying to tell you that you're being annoying, because really they're just being closed-minded and they don't understand the joy and fascination that comes from living a more curious life.
Exploratory. How else are you going to learn? How are you going to find your new favorite Asian dish if you're just going to get General Tso's every time?
That's right.
Try something new. The worst thing that can happen, barring any fucking like allergies that, you know, because food allergies suck.
They do.
But I'm fortunate not to have those. So like the worst thing that can happen for me is I don't enjoy my meal. Well, good thing that I had two others that day and a fucking lifetime worth of them ahead of me.
That's right. That's right. And so I see there being a lot of truth in that saying because, yeah, like sometimes curiosity does not pay off. But I think on an individual basis, it's really, really important to be curious. And also, like, one of the major strengths of humanity altogether is our curiosity. You know, we'd still be, we'd be a lot less advanced as a species if we weren't curious. If we were just satisfied with whatever was barely sustainable, we just wouldn't advance.
That makes a lot of sense. And I really like that. I think that fits both your character and just the whole theming of this idea. Mine, on the other hand,
is, what do you got?
Great minds think alike.
That's a good one.
But fools rarely differ.
Right.
Which I like using that both as a dig and as a self dig. Because, you know, people are always like surprised, like, oh yeah, you know, like we, you know, 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Like in that case, they're not, that is good music, but just because people agree with you doesn't mean that you are correct. And like, just because I agree with you doesn't mean we're not both fucking idiots. Cause I'm very dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I think it's important to stay humble in that sense.
Yeah. Like, yeah, sometimes, I think one of the reasons I like that saying is that it's essentially saying nothing at all and everything at the same time. Like when you say great minds think alike, but fools rarely differ, it's like essentially saying if you agree with somebody, it doesn't mean anything at all in particular, really. Maybe you're really smart. Maybe you're an absolute fool. Who knows?
Yeah. Just keep going.
Yeah.
You don't need to bask in the moment or be upset about it. Just keep going. Yep. I don't know. I've been using that one since elementary school.
Really?
Like, yeah. Because my mom taught it to me. Because I think I said it to her once and she goes, "But fools rarely differ." I'm like, "What is that?" And I loved like the novelty of it. And, you know, I guess that little kid of like, you love latching onto a thing that other people don't know, like, oh, this is new information.
Yeah.
So it always stuck with me that fools really differ. And like my mom and I, like, we do say that to, like, at each other when we agree on something. And it, like, doesn't matter. The other one will always give the fools rarely differ part of it, just to remind us that, hey, we're both kind of dumb.
Yeah. Got to stay on your toes. Yeah, my...
I don't know.
My actually, you know, it's a realist now, a real missed opportunity, because the way that I came into the second half of that saying was a 30-second commercial interrupter on the Disney Channel. For
okay.
a little while, they just had the genie from Aladdin just say something for a little while to, like, maybe give Disney the excuse of saying, we're actually educational programming.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
Genie said, great minds think for themselves, in response to great minds think alike. And that it's the same thing, but it's so much worse. It's so much worse as
it's
a saying.
It's so egotistical.
Yeah, that too.
If you're not the great mind, it is just, it's creating this, like, unnecessary, like, elevation. Like, I love him to death. Our friend Mike, smartest person that I know. One of the dumbest people that I know.
How's like, that?
You've met Mike. He's fucking brilliant. He can figure out systems and like wreck shop in games and school and life, but also, like, the cat almost burnt himself to death by turning his grill into a fireball.
You lost me there. His cat. He's a cat. What?
No, him.
Him? Like, oh, that. Oh,
that.
Like, as in that cat.
That cool guy.
All right.
I'm hip. I'm using my lingo.
All right, I got it, daddy-o. All right, let's, yeah. All right. I did not know that. That's fun. Glad he's alive.
It is, me too. It is my favorite story that he tells, because he is not dead.
That's my favorite part, I think, of that story.
But that's the kind of thing, like, you can be smart and also fucking stupid. Like, sometimes he just doesn't get stuff, and, like, I'll have to point out, you know, of course we're talking on the spot now, so nothing's coming into the little rocks that are rattling in my brain. But, like, there are times where I need to point out, like, hey, Mike, here's the reality of the situation. Like, that is how that fucking works, isn't it?
I've never caught Mike in one of those moments.
Well, that's because you're playing D&D and he's just wrecking shop in your game.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I killed him one time, and he's never let me live it down by making a totally unkillable character.
In your defense, he only died because he did what his character would do. He was role-playing hard on that one.
It
Mike
was great.
Knew that it wasn't the right thing to do.
Yeah. No, I know that if Mike wanted that character to never die, never would have died. But it is what it is.
That's a great part about it. He makes very good characters, but also role-plays them super well. And this one just happens to role-play in unkillableness.
yeah, just so happened.
Yeah, so have some sayings, folks. Let us know yours, because I want more bad wrong sayings.
Ooh,
we were so close to a new one, but now we're still on the old number nine. Sub 10, very old. If you were a toy, what are your three pull ring phrases?
Whoa. That is, oh, wow. I think that was that one of my questions?
I think that was one of Aaron's.
Okay. Let's see. Catch.
Think I was asking that one at Biggs. Like, this is an old one.
Okay. I'm thinking very Woody from Toy Story. There's a snake in my boot.
Okay.
I think one of them would just be, like, heavy skepticism. Do I have any catchphrases for me to say, I'm not so sure about that?
Probably. I'll give you that one. I know one that I want you to have, because I don't know if you noticed it on our social media, but I do it every time.
What's that?
You go, you go, hey, listen. Yeah. And I always slap Navi on your face.
Yeah, I have noticed that. Actually,
it's, just, it's one of your little conversation ticks. It's totally fine.
I'm into it. Okay, yeah. One catchphrase will be, all right, so listen. I think another one will be, well, I'm not totally sure about that.
Okay.
Something. Yeah, I think that's it.
No, you definitely disbelieve when you shouldn't because you think you're right and you're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Fools rarely differ, Evan.
I don't agree with you. You're just stupid.
it doesn't say that fools are the only ones who rarely differ, or that that fools can only not differ.
Yep. Sometimes fools are fools, man. And we're looking at the kings of them right here. These two peoples. Fools.
All right. Yeah, I guess pull phrase number three. I'm going to borrow some Oscar Wilde and go with be who you are. Everyone else is taken.
Cool. I like that. Got a little deep there on the end. Feeling. Are you well versed in Wilde? Do you like read classic literature and shit?
Not a lot of classic literature, and I haven't read Oscar Wilde in quite a long time. But I did go through a phase where I read quite a few of his plays and short stories. He's got a lot of poems too. I've never really dipped into that section, but
I'm a literate.
Portrait of Dorian Gray, very good. It's really strong. His plays are also hilarious. They really hold up. In a modern sense.
Okay.
Highly recommend them if you get a chance for The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yeah, if I can find it on audiobook.
All right, what about you? Yeah, what are you leaning for if you've got three catchphrases?
Before we go into me, I do like that this is the movie tie-in toy of you, because I've never heard you quote anything before.
not big quoter.
No, but you have to have it in your three thing, because this is movie con. This is like the one part in season two where it's like it was part of his character development. So it's got to be there in the movie. The people really liked it.
Yep. That's the one you're known for. Man, yeah. I said that literally once.
Yeah, it's not. It's really not like me. But I mean, now you're going to sell the toys
practically infinite amount of times.
Yep. So the people who really know, really know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are mine? Okay. My first one is definitely. Oh man, I don't want to go to work today.
Yeah, that's good. That's solid.
And it's definitely that sleepy slurred tone, because I'm waking up like, I don't want to go to work.
I could see that working really well for like a gecko style of like you just have to say something every now and then, and that's one.
Dog,
of the,
did you play Gex? Did you play Gex as a kid?
I never played Gex, but I've seen the internet complain a lot about it and use it as the classic example of quips in video games don't work.
I have two Gex games. I played multiple Gexes as a kid. And boy, that gecko did not shut up. Because Connor, it's tail time.
Is it now?
It's tail time.
Yeah. One of those things I just wouldn't wish on my worst enemies.
I can't remember, but like they had for the third Gex, I think it was Deep Cover Gecko was the name of the game. And the thrust of it was you needed to save your girlfriend, who was captured by, I think, like the big bad of the game. And she is a human lady.
Oh.
And I can't remember whence she came. It said on the back, I want to say it was Baywatch, but like part of me thinks that it was Playboy.
Okay, hang on. What's the scale of Gex the Gecko? Is Gex the Gecko a human-sized gecko?
Child size human gecko, like way too big for a lizard.
but not the size of a full grown adult.
But not like 5'8".
Okay. All right. Questions continue. He was an actor in the video games?
No. He was the gecko. His girlfriend was human lady.
Okay, and his girlfriend is human lady.
Agent Extra.
From comically explicit.
Her name in the game was Agent Extra, portrayed by Marlies and Andrada.
Okay, and so the video games are a movie inside the video games?
No, she would be like, Gex, you need to save me. And she like showed up on like the spy TV screen. Yeah. And she was Skylar Sky Bergman on Baywatch. There you go.
In real life. Okay.
So Baywatch lady dated Gex in Gex video game.
How about that?
So.
Weird.
How did we get on Gex?
Catchphrases. Catchphrases. Refocusing. You don't want to go to work today. You got two more pulls.
Okay. My second one is, I don't want to go to bed. Don't.
Dare I ask, Evan, is your third phrase also going to be something that you don't want to?
No, it's not. I do. I have had that one. I have had that one known.
Can the third one like, just be you screaming?
It is.
Yes. Yeah, no,
the third one is definitely. Ah! Just not
perfect.
Just gotta get it out. Just using my canonical license to scream.
And do you think if you had a pull tab, Evan, with the string in the back, would it give you any of the same satisfaction to just like over and over again? I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to go to work.
It wouldn't give me any satisfaction because that's just my life. But I hope it gives you satisfaction. And I know you want to think that the scream pull is just, it goes as long. Like if you want a little like, ah, you just pull it a bit. Or if you want a long drawn out, like breathy, ah, you pull. No, it's just whatever you do, man, that guy's just going, I'm sorry.
Screaming.
Like parents hate this toy. Parents hate this toy. Number three says why.
Yeah. And it's long scream. Number three is long scream.
But not wanting to go to bed, definitely related to not wanting to go to work the next day. But I'm also just a night person. I don't, like, I do more at night, more active.
Just when you get into it.
Very good. It's just my, I don't know if it's like the zone. It's when I get in the zone.
That's the Evan time.
It's really tough because Leah's a morning person and she goes to bed early, but she also likes to cuddle. So she's like, are you coming to bed? I would prefer not, but I love you, so I will. So, those are mine. Far less refined than yours.
I would buy your pull toy way faster than mine, for sure.
I think mine is very relatable. I think kids and adults can appreciate the kind of shit that I'm slinging.
I can't imagine one of those... you act a little bit too old for your age kind of kids. The kids who are born old, getting up in the morning and like rolling off the side of the bed and doing the like rubbing their face like they have 5 o'clock shadow and then just seeing their Evan doll over there on the side table and pulling it and it saying it doesn't want to go to work today. It's just like, oh, you and me both, buddy.
Or just the kid pulls it. It's like, I don't want to go to school today. Says, speaks over the toy. I also like the idea of just like, oh, hey, I'm sorry. Like the client came back. Like you really need to get this done before the weekend. Like I know it's gonna be a bit of a push. Supervisor walks away, just pulls the string at the desk, and just a little that they can't get out, but they need to hear.
Yeah, I like it.
I guess just. going further on this now. Excuse me, sorry. It's also got to be a stress toy of some sort.
Oh, it's got to be very squeezy, right?
Just that weird, that like foamy plastic crap.
Mm. Okay, wait, so you can go two routes, I think. You can either make it really squeezy or really stretchy.
Like, I think I'd go squeezy. I don't like stretchy.
Yeah, go more squeezy. Okay. Yeah. So you want to like crush
the Evan. As opposed to a... I mean, they got to get the carnival Evan if they want the stretch, because he's got a weird body.
Yeah, very, very
Gumby
different,
dad.
Different action figure. Son of Gumby.
I love this. You, me, and our two listeners, we've officially got lore.
Yeah, and merch in the works.
Canonical. Oh, my God. If we ever get popular enough, I will never put out this toy. Fuck that. That does not need to happen.
I can't disagree with you more. I think it would be wonderful. I personally, I don't think I'm ever going to feel like I've officially made it in life until I have an action figure. That's my bar for success.
Cool. I don't think I'm ever going to feel like I made it in life.
Then why does it matter to you if you get the Evan doll release?
I don't want visages of me out in the world. Like, I don't want... Oh, it feels gross for someone to have a picture of me. Ew. Ew.
Not just a picture, but an artistic
reinterpretation. No, like, I meant the thing. Like, of course people can have pictures of me. It's weird, but, like, I don't like getting them taken, but I'll take them with you. Yeah. But, like, yeah, a little, like a little Evan buddy? Fuck that. No, thank you. Oh, my God.
It does.
Oh, my God. I'm feeling the bugs crawl up my spine right now, Connor.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole series of Twilight Zones that you could fall into if you release a doll of yourself into the world. Yeah.
And I'm... Number 69.
We did it.
Yes.
Law of large numbers. We finally made it.
We made it with the funny number. Yes.
I really hope that we gave this a good question. We must have.
Well, you got to think it changes because we update the spreadsheet.
You're kidding. I thought for sure that we would have kept this one slot solid.
Dude, I'm very dumb. I never would have thought of that. But like. Mm.
All right.
We can adjust it so like 69 is the D20 of our rolls.
All right. Well, what do we have?
Well, currently what we have is, Connor, what classic movie monster would you want to befriend?
Okay. All right. Okay. There's 69 opportunity in here somewhere, depending on how deep that friendship goes. Exactly. A lot of
hello, Minerva the Succubus. How are you today?
Yeah, that classic movie monster. Very sexy, attractive person.
I mean, there are those, yeah. Like, is it female-presenting monster? Well, if it's a classic movie, it's back when objectification was cool, so, duh, she's got to be hot.
Yeah, and, you know, because, like, you can either go Frankenstein's monster, and then you just have, like, a homunculus of uneven proportions whose visage is terrifying to behold, or you have Frankenstein's wife, who is just a woman.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of... So when we're talking about, like, attractive, like, maybe... What's the word I want to use? Down to make out characters. I just immediately thought of... there's a poster my sister has at her house, and it's the Wasp Woman, and the tagline of the movie is "A beautiful woman by day, a lusting queen wasp by night."
Oh, that is such a weird setup for a movie.
So Connor, there's weird horny ladies in classic movies if you want to befriend them.
That's a fact. Yeah, like, I've got vague ideas of killer women from Venus in loads and loads and loads of different movies.
Yep. No qualifying questions. All answers are valid, but feel free to veto this one from me. Mm-hmm. But my heart of hearts has just spoken through me to the ether. And my classic movie monster that I want to befriend is the Gargan.
The what?
The Gargan. if you remember the sci-fi movie night that we had, that Moynihan was leading, the Gargan is the lobster monster that just goes, whoa!
They just held a giant, they just put a lobster really close to the camera just lens.
In front of a spotlight, and so like, a giant fucking shadow, and it was just a man going,
Oh, Lord.
It is this fucking destroyer of worlds that is like raised to eat planets. It's like, my dude, as Leo would say, my good bitch, that is a lobster.
That's it, was just a lobster.
The lobster, it screams like a man.
All right. If I could, I the Gargan is a very good answer. I don't know what you would do with Gargan friendship, but once you have it, it determines the course of your life.
It has to. Like, I get to visit and destroy other planets. If we're friends, that guy ain't eating me. And, like,
right.
I can
Lucky
probably
you.
Ride upon its carapace as it strikes fear into the lands.
It has locomotion to spare. Of course you can ride the Gargan if you're friendly.
And we can just scream.
And you get to scream
out
together. Like men.
Like men. Yeah, I haven't seen many classic movies with monsters in it. And like, the Gargan has left a strong impression on my heart.
Yeah.
Like, I'm probably the one who thinks of that monster the most out of our friend group.
I have not even, the Gargan has not entered my mind for months and months. The amount, since we watched that movie, minus a week, I would say.
Yeah,
do you remember the name of the movie?
Oh, heavens, no.
No.
I remember that lady who died because she was a little frisky.
Yeah, yeah, that's the number one thing you don't want to be if you want to survive an old sci-fi B movie is horny.
Oh man!
All right, furiously.
Because I remember, because that movie was like all the night scenes were shot during day. It was great. Oh, what? Yeah, what is it?
Yep, Teenagers from Outer Space, a movie circa 1959.
Friends, two listeners, if you want a good bad time, get some friends, get some drinks, and watch this crappy movie. It's a hoot.
It's really good. I also highly recommend it.
Get ready to pause and laugh with your friends. Like, this isn't like, don't go in there expecting to enjoy or understand the plot. Just ride with it.
It's an incredible artifact. Like, it belongs in a museum.
Gargan scream alone, followed by the lady who was sure of herself and had a lot of like presence. She was dope. And then she had to get turned into bones.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes that happens, especially when there's a Gargan about. As of May 2024, streaming for free on Tubi.
There you go.
Might be able to find it on YouTube
is.
Like we did.
Yeah, it's probably for free on YouTube. Go watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
Connor, what movie monster are you befriending?
Are you
rolling up? Are we rolling down Sunset Boulevard with our Gargans?
I feel the Gargan is kind of a high maintenance friend. I
Probably.
Think the Gargan would require a lot of attention. And
you have to go to a lot of planets.
I want a classic movie monster that I can just kind of visit or summon from time to time.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of like, I was sort of thinking maybe a nice Godzilla kind of friend would be good. But I just think I would have too much trouble feeling like I'm supposed to be the character in the kaiju movie who can convince the kaiju not to kill everybody. And I don't want to be in that position. And I don't want to limit Godzilla. You know, I don't want to try to tell Godzilla not to be true to itself.
As Leah told me yesterday, it's best to have friends who push you to be your best self.
That's right. And I just can't do that for Godzilla, because Godzilla at its best is destroying large cities.
Yeah.
And we're just going to fight.
Saving,
you know,
us from Mothra.
What I'm going to go with instead is the Kraken, a famously summonable horror movie monster. because I won't feel the same kind of pressure. Because I feel like no one really believes the Kraken exists. You know, even when there are ships that mysteriously go sinking, like there's a lot of plausible deniability in sea monster attacks.
Okay.
And I feel like I could just go kick it with the Kraken from time to time and, you know, spend some time underwater, get some scuba gear, see the amazing underwater sights. It sounds like a good time.
Like the idea of it just like holding you in one of its tentacles as y'all just like surf the ocean blue. Like you don't have to worry about any capsizing with torrential storms. This guy lives in torrential storms. Like
that's right.
He's got you protected, looking out for you.
Yeah, we could ride the world like tidal pools together and check out some of those creepy crazy fish deep below.
The weird ones. Yeah,
I would need a little bit of additional equipment, but that would be a lot of fun.
I also like that. Like, if you can do some weird voodoo stuff, you can just summon the Seattle Kraken and just have beers with professional hockey players.
If depending on maybe I get the side benefit of also being able to summon Kraken players. I just get like all of the Krakens all together.
I can summon the Kraken, or I can summon the Kraken.
That might be the downfall. The one downside of having the Gargan as a friend is it's an incredibly specific monster. Yep,
that's fair. I now like that, like you're showing the Kraken part of your world and that y'all go to a Kraken game and it's just you and a giant sea monster like taking up the entire like nosebleed bleacher section.
Yeah, so there's a lot of don't mess with me energy when you bring the Kraken to a Kraken game.
They'd be like, oh man, like that's a lot of money for tickets. Like, hey, sorry, Kraken. It's like, what can I do? I'll pay for my ticket, but like, come on.
What? I mean, you named the whole team after this thing. You're not gonna let them watch you hit that puck around the ice? Of course you are. Come on.
One good turn deserves another.
Naturally. I mean, and fair play to the Seattle Kraken. It is an excellent mascot to build a franchise around. So many opportunities for releasing the Kraken, getting a spiced rum collaboration, lots of sea-themed catastrophe noises.
Coors Light, the official beer of the Seattle Kraken. I know that because I bought Coors Light and it said that on the can.
Advertising Coors Light on accident.
Whatever. Drink what you want. Fuck you. What would the Gargan team be? I feel like volleyball.
If the Gargans is... it would be tennis, my man. I feel very confident. Because that is the screamiest sport I know.
Hoot! Ah! Hoot! Just, I love it. That's
you know what's
so
nice
good.
About this? Our classic monster friends would be chill. I think they would get along.
Yeah.
I think they have the Kraken doesn't do quite so much screaming, but they are essentially giant sea animals.
Yeah. And apparently they both really, really like watching sports. So I guess you and I need to start like watching sports so we can hang out with our friends. Our mythical giant sea life friends.
That's what friendship is about. It's about going to the sporting events that your giant mythical sea creatures enjoy, even if it's not your thing.
All right. This has been a fun podcast. Let's go into our last question, which is number 70. We just go down a tick. Like, that's unlikely. That's like a 1 in 100 chance. All right, Connor, what's a strange flavor combination that actually works?
You know, I think the most famous one of these is the French fries and a milkshake combo. I think that's been kind of done to death personally. I don't really see the point. I don't really get it.
It doesn't, like, I will have a milkshake and I will have a french fry, but, like, once you put them into each other, it's like you have lessened, like, they are lesser than the sum of their parts.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather like a bite of fries and then a sip of milkshake. Exactly. That's a good combo. That works for me.
But then you get the cold on the hot fry, and you're like, this is weird in my mouth. I don't like how this is. And then I don't get any of the good potato-y taste. I just get overwhelming cream. It's like, this isn't it for me. So,
no, that's not my thing.
Fucking drawing the line, guys, here. It's a combination that doesn't work.
Yeah. But a line. But what's one that? One that does work. Peanut butter. Onions. Together.
Oh, just the peanut butter and onion sandwich?
No. That's okay. Just the overwhelming flavor that you get when you put these two things together. And, like, you think about a peanut sauce and, like, that kind of savoriness coming together. I think onions work really well in that kind of format. People don't think about peanut butter as a savory condiment, but it essentially is. That's, like, I know we all go very hard on the jelly combo, and that's wonderful, but it's not because peanut butter is already fruity and sweet. It's because they contrast really nicely.
No, I'm totally with you there.
Peanut butter, onion. Peanut butter.
I know.
Onion.
Peanut butter, onion. I, like, my answer was definitely peanut butter related because I, like, having peanut butter in contexts that aren't readily apparent is so good. But, like, I want to let you know there it was a food YouTuber that I watched, and one of his recommendations was having a peanut butter and pickled onion sandwich.
Whoa. Now, introducing the pickle into the situation, that's hard to wrap my head around.
It was good.
Can you explain it?
Because, like,
make it make sense in my head, please do that.
So it has the similarities of a peanut butter jelly, where it's like the pickling is a little bit sweet and a little bit salty, and, like, because of the onions breaking down, it's not jammy per se, but, like, it's got that kind of, like, softness. But what I think amplifies it is the crunch of the onions. Because I'm a crunchy peanut butter kind of guy, but if I have a smooth peanut butter and crunchy onion, that's pretty all right. Like, I'm not averse to that.
I'm with you on that. That's something that I have enjoyed in putting peanut butter and onion. For me, the sandwich that brought that combination to the front of my mind is I just had a bunch of stuff I threw together in a sandwich when I was in college, and it was those two things plus way too much cheddar cheese and turkey. And
do you remember the name of it?
That was the Nova Funk Nutter.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
It lives in my brain.
I was really excited about it when I made it and how good it was altogether, in a way that it really shouldn't have been. But the crunch of the onion with the smoothness of the peanut butter is better, I think, than the crunch you get from the nut. It's so sharp, the onion crunch, compared to the nut crunch. So yeah. I do see the point there.
Like, I think this is turning out to be just a love letter to peanut butter.
Peanut
with
butter.
This
so underestimated.
It is so versatile. Like, Leah doesn't like when I do this, but I talk to people, and we went out for dinner one night, and the place, like, I got, like, an Elvis burger. It was mashed banana, bacon, and peanut butter on a burger, and I was shooting the shit with our waiter for like 10 minutes about how good it was, because I was like, dude, this thing is fucking bomb. He's like, I know. And, like, he started going off on it. It's like, no one ever believes me, but, like, I get this thing all the time. It's just, put peanut butter on more stuff. You are going to benefit from it.
It does well in so many scenarios.
My hard answer for this one is another peanut butter based dish. But I've never been much for, if you're from New England, to listeners, you may have heard of the Big E before. But I was never keen on going to the Big E. Like, it was never attractive to me for whatever reason.
The Biggie being like a giant carnival, like the New England State Fair, County Fair, but like New England.
Yeah, they had like a bunch of buildings that were like pertinent to the states of New England. So you got like a little local cultural flair. They had, you know, like carnival rides and just like
animal shows, fried foods.
Yeah, like the food trucks and stuff.
Statue but, made of butter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They did a lot of livestock stuff too. Like the 4-H was did a lot of stuff there. You got to see like chicks being birthed and stuff. It was really As I went more with Leah, I appreciated it more. But definitely younger, not ever super my thing. But whenever I went with Leah, because that she loved going to it, so we would go yearly more or less when we lived in New England. And my favorite thing was to go to the Connecticut building. And I don't remember what the pizza joint was, but they had a pizza called the Skippy's Dare. And it was one of those things where I looked and I said, that's fucking weird. I'm going to try it. I took one bite. Like, this is incredible. Like, thinking about it, I should probably try to make it at home again because I can. So it is a pizza with a base of peanut butter.
Instead of sauce.
Instead of sauce, base of peanut butter.
Okay.
Provolone cheese, bacon on top.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It is incredible.
I don't know if I could technically call that pizza, but it sounds really tasty.
It was on pizza dough. Hey, you know, you can have a white pizza with a garlic sauce base. Why can't you have a PB pizza with peanut butter base?
Yeah,
broaden your horizons. Try new things.
yeah, that's the theme today.
Here's the thing, you know, appreciate things for what they are, because a deep dish pizza doesn't adhere to the like pizza. It's still a good casserole, just because like they call it a pizza. It's still delicious. Get off your high horse. Don't be a snob about things. Just enjoy things that you like.
Don't get lost in the sauce.
You can get lost in that sauce.
Get lost in that sauce.
It's like, I am a mongrel when I eat. I am just like, scarf, 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 done. Because I never liked eating as a child. Because I had to be around my family. I'm like, I need to get out of here. So the faster I eat, the faster I can leave.
Run away.
I savored that damn slice. Just enjoy every bite. It's so good. I might go make pizza dough so I can make this for myself. Because it was that good.
I have a hankering, man. This is leaving me really in the mood for peanut butter.
I went to a burger place with your wife, and the person was like, hey, have this peanut butter sauce. And it's like peanut butter and like maple syrup mixed together and put on a burger. That's pretty tight, especially when you hit it with a bunch of sriracha. It was delicious.
I was thinking, like maybe a spicy pickled onion with the peanut butter combo earlier. That might make a little more sense to me on an intuitive level. But this Skippy Challenge pizza thing, the mind reels. I wonder what would happen if you did like some thin slice of banana on that too. Go more the Elvis route.
Yeah, you're not going to hear me complain. Put more peanut butter on more things.
Peanut butter does so many things. We just haven't even scratched the surface.
I was listening to what's it? How Stuff Works or Stuff You Should Know? One of the classic podcasts, and one of the guys on it was like, "Hey, you want to gain way too much weight way too quickly? Put a scoop of peanut butter in some Cool Whip. You'll demolish all of it." So good. Peanut butter,
perfect
condiment, apparently.
It fits in every situation.
Oh my god!
What Elites and I do from time to time is on most ice cream will tolerate this really well, but vanilla ice cream is a perfectly good base. You just microwave a small scoop of peanut butter for 30 seconds to get it thin and liquidy. You pour that over the ice cream, which cools it and makes like this thick peanut butter
shell. Oh my god, that was my favorite thing to get at the drive-in as a kid.
So
and I would
smooth.
Always get it in a cup because there would be extra peanut butter and it would congeal as like a little like candy bar.
Yeah. And it's You don't need to buy a peanut butter sauce to do this. You just use hot peanut butter. It melts and cools, and it's the texture is so nice on top of the ice. It's so good.
I think we need to stop this podcast and go eat.
I might just go for a spoonful of peanut butter, which is also the only cure I know for hiccups.
Oh, Leah taught me a way. It was a whole bunch of diaphragm science, so I'm not going to go into it, but I'll have her tell you at another date, because that's not interesting for the podcast.
Always curious.
But what is interesting is that you made it to the end of the podcast. You didn't need to do it, but you did, and we appreciate it.
What is that about you that made you listen this whole time?
I'm just grateful. That's really cool of you to do. If you want to help us out, spread the word, do a review. I don't know, whatever. Can't control you. If you want to get your own questions asked and answered by your God of Odd, you can hit us up with an email at
lemonanswers@gmail.com.
That is lemonanswers@gmail.com. If you want to get parasocial with us, we're on all of the social medias at The Answer is a Lemon.
Reach out. Send us questions. Send us answers. We want to know.
Oh, dude, please send us answers. We want your answers. So fucking curious. Love this stuff. But either way, be well. Love you. Bye.
So long.